Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
A lot of talk this morning about Vice President Harris and her 60-minute special interview that aired last night. She said she would not meet bilaterally with Russian President Putin to negotiate a solution to end the war in Ukraine. She said Ukraine must have a say in the future of Ukraine, and there will be no success in ending the war without Ukraine and the UN Charter participating in what that success looks like. What is the reaction in Ukraine? Let's find out. Joseph Lindsley with us. Joe, have you had a chance to see that interview or hear about it?
Yeah, Bob, indeed. Hello from Lviv. I did not watch all of it, but the you know, it is something that people here in Ukraine, of course, are closely paying attention to. I think not just in Ukraine, but of course, throughout the Middle East, throughout the world, so much hinges on not only the U.S. election, but on what will be the policies of whoever is elected president. And we do see in Vice President Harris's comments to 60 Minutes at least one clear difference from former President Trump, and that, you know, saying that Ukraine, you know, that it's not going to be she's not going to call up President Putin and try to make a deal without Ukraine. So that part seems to be clear. But the big question that still goes unasked is, will if Vice President Harris is elected, will she carry on the policy of her current administration, of the Biden administration, that restricts Ukraine from fighting back? Also, she was pushed on the matter of NATO. Would she support NATO membership for Ukraine? And there she certainly is echoing exactly what President Biden has said, which is, you know, pretty much no. There's no need for that. This is what President Biden has said time and time again. And, you know, that is another concern. I mean, I think, you know, the Russian propaganda still claims, and a lot of Americans still believe, that the reason for this war is because because NATO wanted Ukraine to be within NATO. In fact, I was even speaking with friends in Israel last night. While they were coming under shelling and fire in the north, rocket fire in the north of Israel. And so even people I know in Israel were saying, well, you know, this war in Ukraine, it's all because of NATO, right? And the Russians have really made that the narrative. But if you look at, you know, going back really the past 10 years, even especially since Ukraine had that revolution in 2014, Ukrainians wanted desperately to be in NATO because they did not want to get invaded. Like, you know, they did not want to be in the situation as they are in now. And there was no interest whatsoever from Washington in letting Ukraine join NATO at all. And so that gets missed. I mean, it, you know, if you look back at the headlines and the stories, for example, in the first couple years, or the first year of the Biden administration, the tendency was to for Washington to lecture Ukraine, to say Ukraine was, you know, had so much work to do on corruption and there's no chance of being in NATO anytime in the near future. So there, if you look closely at the stories, there really was no desire or momentum for that. And the Russians have sort of just made that into it's a Russian myth. And we see that the former Secretary General of NATO, General Stoltenberg, he's been out of office for about a month and a half, and he can speak more freely. And he said, you know, in the past 2.5 years. The West and NATO, he said, really failed Ukraine. Everything has been too slow, too reluctant, and we have, you know, some voices within NATO, such as the current president of the Czech Republic, who was a top NATO general. He's pushing this idea that maybe the parts of Ukraine that are not currently occupied by Russia, so like Lviv or Kyiv or Kharkiv, that they could be brought into NATO, and Ukrainians would be left on their own to fight the Russians on occupied soil, but that NATO would protect the rest of Ukraine. There is a growing but still very small chorus pushing those ideas, but it did seem that Vice President Harris, along with, I'd say, former President Trump and certainly President Biden, none of them want Ukraine to be in NATO.
Yeah, the vice president did avoid answering whether she would support the effort to expand NATO. She said she would deal with it if and when it arrives at that point. Question off our text line for you, Joseph. Is Ukraine manufacturing their own weapons as well?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, you know, United States, sort of the supreme, weapons manufacturer in the West. And so the best technology, especially 2 years ago, had to come from the U.S. But as I saw at that conference, the Brave One conference in Kyiv last week, it started off Ukrainians were making drones in their basements. But now they're making much more elaborate weapons and even working to make longer range missiles. Once those are fully developed, then Ukraine will not have to rely upon the permission of Washington to hit targets within Russia. So absolutely, there's a lot of innovation happening on that front and reminders of how urgently that's needed. Last night, the Russians sent ballistic missiles into the port of Odessa, a very heavy attack on the port. You know, in that park that when I was reported to you from Odessa, I came under missile attack there as well. So I know exactly where that is and just how intense it was more intense there last night than anything I have witnessed when I was in Odessa. They also hit the small port town of Chornomorsk, another place I visited. They hit a residential building on the Black Sea. And then a couple of positive stories that get missed. But, last week, it was the High Holy Days for the Jewish people. And more than 35,000 Hasidic Jewish pilgrims traveled to the city of Uman in Ukraine. It's a very important Jewish historic site. And so even though despite the war, of course, many of them are familiar with war, having come from Israel. But many Jews traveled even from outside Ukraine to attend this annual gathering in the city of Uman, which the Russians do from time to time hit. But they were able to have their festival, the High Holy Days, without incident. And then big news for the Greek Catholics. Western Ukraine, is Greek Catholic, which is a hybrid. It's under the Roman Catholic Church, but it's Eastern in style. And I think that the Catholics of Ukraine have very often felt disrespected by Pope Francis, who's, has made some kind of sometimes not been very clear about, the evils coming from the Kremlin. Mm-hmm. But Pope Francis announced yesterday that he's going to name the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Bishop of Melbourne, Australia, a guy who was born in Ukraine. He's making him a cardinal. And this is very unusual because he's bypassing the usual hierarchy. Usually would be the Bishop of Sydney, would be someone of Anglo-Saxon heritage, but he's picking the Ukrainian-born Greek Catholic leader of Melbourne. The Greek Catholics are very different. They're priests and get married. They have a different ritual. But the Pope has selected this guy as a cardinal, and I think for Ukrainians, especially here in Lviv, that's a sign of a new type of respect from the Vatican.
I always feel like we get a great world history lesson from you, Joseph. You must have paid attention to the right class at Notre Dame.
I tried. I'm glad I stayed awake.
Thank you very much for the report today.
Till tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.